You're listening to Blue Collar CEO, the podcast that's all about helping you build a better, more profitable, and more sustainable home service business. Each week, we will cover a different topic that'll help you enable your company to move forward to success. And here's your host, Ryan Redding.
What is up, Blue Collar CEOs? It's Ryan. It is great to be with you today. Hope you're doing good, and thanks for stopping by. Today's episode is going to be fun. We're going to be introducing you to Ryan Matthews of My Guy Plumbing. I have had the fortune of knowing Ryan and his family for several years now, and he's had a lot of success for his business. We're going to be talking a little bit about that, of kind of his journey over the past 4 or 5 years. And one of the things that we're going to get into is some of the biggest mistakes he's made early on that if you're smart, you can learn from his mistakes and not make them yourself. Let's get going. All right, Ryan, I'm so glad that we are able to get you on because we've talked about this. And a few weeks ago, months ago, when we were at Lupe Tortilla in Texas, I was like, we got to get you on. So for the boys and girls at home, Ryan, who don't know you already from your kind of crazy massive social footprint, who are you? What do you do?
I'm Ryan Matthews. I own My Guy Plumbing out of Toms River, New Jersey.
Toms River, New Jersey, which, by the way, I confirm that this is true because I didn't learn this until just the other day. Is it true that it is illegal to pump your own gas in the state of New Jersey?
So they just changed the law not too long ago. Depending on the size of the gas station, you're allowed to pump your own gas. So they just changed this rule not too long ago, but it's been causing problems.
What year is this that that's a thing still?
Well, New Jersey has probably one of the largest, densest populations. And once you get a large, dense population, you don't get the smartest people. So I think it's more of a community protection thing that they do.
That's crazy. I had no idea. Apparently Oregon's the same way. I don't know, Travis, if you're listening, confirm that that's the case in Oregon, because I don't know. It's just weird. I had no idea. That's like a throwback to 1950 something. It's weird.
Yeah. Bringing my wife anywhere other than New Jersey is a hassle, because if I'm not with her, she has no idea what to do.
Oh my gosh, I can only imagine. I've met her not in person. I've met her like on meets like this before. So like, I have an idea of her personality, and I think she would be a hoot to throw into a situation like that. It would be a lot of fun as an outsider. I'm sure it's a little bit different for you.
Yeah, yes.
She's probably in the other room, so I'll be quiet on anything else. I'm glad you could have you on. I was trying to remember how long I've known you, because I've known you for a minute. Was it 2017, 2018? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was probably late 2018. Okay. I was a silent stalker of yours for a little while. That's before we actually introduced. But yeah, I think it was late 2018, maybe early 2019.
So I guess for those who don't know your story, we don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but give a quick recap on My Guy, like the history of how long you've been in business, like just help people understand where you are now.
So I guess we're in the infamous year 5, you know, the one that everyone says, if you make 5 years, you might survive. So we're right at that level right now. I got my license on my birthday, so April 2nd. And then I created My Guy, I think 2 days later, 3 days later, April 5th or April 6th, back in, 2018. So we're about 6 trucks now.
6 trucks. And you started off, you were doing a lot of like bathroom remodels. Is that right?
Yeah. When I first started, I was taking anything I could at the very beginning, but I really love service work. But my past, I did a lot of new construction and remodels. And that's where I kind of cut my teeth. You know, I did everything from custom homes to schools, all the way to car dealerships. So, I mean, I've done basically everything with new construction that you could do other than industrial.
And so now you're straight up service, running six trucks. And I'm sure there's along the way, I think a lot of people, especially who are like early on trying to grow, they kind of imagine it being a straight line, like, oh, all I need is like more calls and magically I'll grow. What has your kind of growth curve been like for you? Has it been easy? Have you made mistakes? Has it been harder than you expected? Like what's been your journey like?
Yeah. So when I was back in school, let's go back all the way to, when I was in Votech, I was in new construction and the mechanic that I work with, I only wanted to work with one. He was the best guy in the company. When I worked with him, he ended up leaving. And when he left, I was kind of forced into that mechanics role on my own. And I was in my fourth year and I read this book called, by Ellen Rohr called Where'd the Money Go? And that kind of opened my eyes up to the service game. And I decided I didn't want to be like a one trick pony. And so I kind of forced myself to get into service. There's a stipulation, you know, most people do one or the other. They don't do both. And most service guys don't like new construction work and new construction guys don't like service work. So I kind of wanted to get into the middle of all that. So I tried my hand at service and I realized that I was really good at solving problems. So I decided I want to do that 100%. But when you're starting off, it's kind of impossible because you need to be able to build the clientele. So I took a lot of remodels. Actually, the first job that I did a new construction job. It was five baths. There was an extra sink in, I think, three of the bathrooms. There was two laundry rooms. I did this whole thing by myself, start to finish. It took me 7 days to do the rough. And I did all the water, the waste, venting, gas, everything. And I kind of like cashed everything in. My wife was scared to death. So I maxed out every card. I didn't know better. One of the major mistakes I did, if you are doing new construction, take a down payment. You know, don't let them dictate what you're doing. Says I put all my eggs in one basket on that one and ended up paying off. I was able to buy my first van and wrap it. But, that was one of the first mistakes I made was, I gambled, man. And, I got the whole job done. And that's a whole nother story of how I got the money out of that guy. Cause, I think he was trying to stiff me. But it was a battle, but I finally got paid. Yeah. I know now. But when you're hungry and you're at the beginning, yeah.
I get it. But I think one of the things that and this sounds weird, but I think stories like that, I think sometimes people just have to experience it themselves to understand like the very basics of like cash flow. Right? Like you need cash coming in and moving so you can buy these things, but you can't be stuck with all the risk, like this kind of like movement of cash going through the business. And I think a lot of guys early on, it's just like, oh, well, I'll do the work because they like doing the work they know. But the business part of it, the operations, the cash flow, all that, like that's a different beast. And it sounds like you learned a lesson or two on that one. Okay, now I'm kind of curious. Sorry, go for it.
I would say I would take a lot of remodels at the beginning just to keep the gears turning, you know, just to keep the cash flow coming in. And you know, it's a double-edged sword because you take that remodel and then all of a sudden your service work comes in, your water heater, stuff like that. Now you don't have the time for it, or you're jumping back and forth trying to do both. And now your new construction project is taking longer than it should. So, I mean, it's tough at the beginning, but my advice is you have to take everything you can.
Was there, okay. So that's interesting. So you're having to divide yourself over, time and what's going to pay fast and what's going to pay better. As you're going through that, what other mistakes did you make early on? Was there any, is that the only sort of thing you ever struggled with ever? Cause you're Brian Matthews.
No, I struggle with how to get the phone to ring right on not having a budget, because I mean, when you start off, the biggest question is, where do I advertise? How do I advertise? How do I get the phone to ring? How do I get people to even know I exist? And year one, you're not going to have the money for marketing. I didn't have the money for SEO. I didn't have the money for a lot of things. You know, I put magnets on my truck, on my pickup truck. I didn't even have a van to start, you know, and tried to create a presence on Facebook, but I didn't know what I was doing. And it's, you know, reaching out to people, reaching out to joining different Facebook groups and putting yourself out there and being humble and asking these questions kind of, and let's say you get the answer. If you don't implement, you're just wasting your time, you know, and you got to gamble, and it's hard to do.
It really is. And one of the things, like, so if somebody has to go to get a loan, let's say I have to get an SBA loan, you know, one of the things like the SBA would check for is like a business plan. Like, think through, like, how are you going to get customers? How are you going to run the job? So blah, blah, blah. And I'm always shocked of how many guys go into business for themselves, not necessarily without a business plan, because that's kind of a boring exercise, but without some of those answers. Like, you kind of, it sounds like in your case, you went into the business and you're like, oh crap, now how do I get this to go? How do I get the phone to ring? How do I get these magnets on the truck, right? It's just like, you think about it after you need it. Has that changed for you? Do you like, do you do a better job like planning in the future now versus like thinking backwards to what you could have, should have done by now?
Everything I do now is, I'm 3 to 6 months in advance. I know basically when I need another truck. I know basically what my end goals are. Like right now, I'm just focusing on systems and procedures. You know, this is my goal this year, is to be able to have everything dialed in so everybody knows exactly what their job is. If they can't, they know exactly how to figure it out without calling me, without asking me about it. Yeah, because I mean, you're talking, you go back to year one. I went out and I got an apprentice, you know, and I remember at that time you started getting busier and the phone was ringing and I'm trying to do a remodel and I have my apprentice with me, but I have my apprentice outside on the phone booking service calls. You know, he's not really benefiting me right now, but he is, but now I'm doing all the work inside. And you know, it's a hard struggle of balancing every job that eventually you're going to need someone else to do in the beginning, because you have to do it all. You know, I always laugh at my wife when she's like, oh yeah, I answered a phone. Sounds like, well, the first year and a half, I answered the phones. I booked all the calls. I ran all the calls. I did all the advertising. I did all the inventory, the stock, and I ran all this out of my garage. You know, so it was, it's very hard, but you have to stay consistent. And like I said, once you learn something, you have to implement it.
Yeah. Otherwise there's a saying, I can't remember, but like people who learn something but don't follow through, it's like they're worse off than the people who don't know it at all. Like, I don't remember. There's some wise expression. Can pretend like I just impressed you with something sage and wise right now. were there, honest answer, man, were there times, especially early on, where you just thought about quitting? Like the stress of juggling it all and getting it all right, like that, the fear of failure and the stress of everything was just, you thought, I don't think I can do this.
Honestly, no, not one time. Awesome. I knew that I was going to do this. You know, it's kind of, you ever see that movie Slumdog Millionaire? I always go back to this. You ever see it? Right. Yeah, yeah. It's a good movie. It's like, you're watching this whole movie and like, how did this guy come up with all these answers? And in the whole movie, he goes back in his life and, you know, he was here at this one time and he heard this at this exact time. And that's how he knows the answer. Well, that's kind of like, I look back at like every instance that I worked for somebody else and they did something that I despised, you know, where they treated somebody badly, or the opposite. They did something really good that the customers appreciated. And I just went ahead and I just used everything that I learned to create what I have now. Like, if you come to work here, you're gonna realize that everything that's crappy about working at a place, I kind of got rid of. You know, like, I don't do the on-call. I don't do after hours. I pay the guys way better than I ever got paid. Health, dental, everything, you know. But everything I learned from going through it at another place. And I always said, if I ever met me 5 years ago, I would not be where I am right now.
So I sometimes think of those as like negative learning environments, you know, like where you have this experience, you go, well, that sucked. I hate doing on-call. So when I have my own business, I don't want my guys having to do that. Were there other positive learning environments that you had where it's like you saw someone doing something right or doing something in a way that inspired you to become better?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of times when dealing with customers, you know, maybe my old boss would go above and beyond and do something for that customer. That customer's like really wowed them, you know, or maybe just a system of procedure that was so simple, but easy to implement that you were like, wow, you know, that's like, I want to add that to my business. Like, it's just simple things that you wouldn't even think of, you know, like I would carry dog treats in my van.
That's cool.
And yeah. Anytime I saw a dog, asked the homeowner, can I give him the dog treat? You know, and all of a sudden people love their dogs. You know what I'm saying? So you do some little stuff like that. It's just little things that I picked up on from other places where I worked.
So as you're, one of the things that I like about you is that you, like in various like Facebook groups that you and I are both on, you always give kind of counsel and advice. And I know for a fact that people call you and ask your opinion. And from what I hear, like, you're an open book, you kind of give them whatever you think is helpful. And I think that's really admirable of you, that you are kind of a selfless sort of supporter of the trades. What, are there certain types of mistakes or like, let's say mistakes that you see consistently on the trades that you just wish more people would figure out early and stop trying to, like, is there certain patterns to the types of things that people do?
I'm going to say, when anybody calls me up, like, I'll have people that reach out and say, hey, listen, such and such is about to give up on his business. Can you reach out to him? And like, that's always an awkward conversation, right? Like, how do you start that one out? But what I always find is the same thing. Most people don't know their numbers or how to figure out how much to charge somebody. So they typically charge way less because they think that's what's fair. And they don't understand that what fair is your overhead plus your salary plus profit. I mean, that's what's fair. And that's what every major company out there in America goes for. And, you know, a lot of people that are struggling, they're struggling because they don't know that number, and they're working to work, and they're not growing. They're not going anywhere with it. And it becomes more of a chain on your leg. You know what I mean? More of a ball and chain where it's just your job is your struggle. And that's the most common thing I run into. I'm gonna say 90% of people who actually take the time to reach out to me.
I think that's really common. I remember there's a friend of mine, Brian Wooten. He's been on the show before. I've known the dude for years. I remember he started off kind of like you. Like, he started off one man working out of his garage, like just running whatever type of job he can get. I remember one time he actually sat down, and I think it was before he made it into the Nextstar, but he was running through his numbers, trying to get like his cost of doing business, right? Just like, how much does it cost him to start up his van and have it leave his parking lot? You know, and I think for him at the time, he was like, I can do these free service calls. I'm happy to run free estimates for people, whatever. And he's like dispatching like all over town. And I want to say at that time, I think his minimum, like his break-even cost of starting his van was like 220 some odd bucks an hour. And I remember he just was floored. Like floored that it cost him that much money to have a dude turn a key in the van and roll it off the parking lot. That's not even doing work. You know, that's just like moving. And it helped him, like having that clarity helped him like start prioritizing the types of calls he wanted to go after, the types of calls he wanted to prioritize. Because yeah, knowing your numbers is the difference between being busy and being profitable.
Right.
So is there a certain like playbook? Is there a certain like sort of model that you use for your own numbers? Or is this just like personal experience?
No, I have there's a bunch of break-even guides out there. You can go out and you can look for them. You can find them. PHCC has a very, actually I can't say simple, kind of complex, but it's free. It's a free guide.
This is what it's like being in Ryan Matthews' office. It's the phone rings. The dude's busy. Yeah, so you're talking about the PHCC pricing guide.
So you can download that guide, and it basically is going to have everything in there that you need to come out with your break-even number. But I always tell everybody, you can't just base it off of this year, what you're doing. I want you to base it off of your growth, what you need for next year. So if you need a van next year, you need to put that in your budget for this year. You know, you need a shop, you need to put it in your budget for this year. And, you know, if you want better software, plan on it. And your customers are eventually going to pay for everything. That's their job. It's your job to manage the costs.
I am always floored when I see people say things like, I can't afford X. I can't get this software. I can't get this tool. I can't pay for this marketing. Because when I hear that, I hear exactly what you're describing. Like, they don't know their numbers. They don't know how to build into the pricing. They don't know how to have their customer pay for those things, whatever that thing is for their business. And it's like, it blows my mind. And to take it a baby step further, like, I'm personally a fan of like doing a calendar year and then doing like rolling calendar years every quarter. So you kind of update your financials like every 3 months based on kind of your actual growth and your actual volume and your actual cost. And especially in like our current environment where inflation's high, material prices are high, and labor prices are high, you can adjust to those things faster than if, gosh, how many people just wait till December to like do something? You know, it's like, it's too late by that point.
Yeah, it's definitely, especially with the materials this year. I mean, we've had increases 40, 50% on some materials. So it's getting out of control. I mean, you have to do that break even sometimes 2 or 3 times a year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Dude, if somebody's listening right now and they're probably where you were, like, let's say 4 years ago, 5 years ago, they see the success that you're having. They see that the help you're providing to other people. If there are 2 or 3 things of advice that you could tell those people now, like, what would you tell them?
Well, number one, get an apprentice. Number two, get someone to answer the phones. And number three, spend your money on marketing. Spend it on, I think my best is SEO. That's my highest ROI. To date, but I mean, you do those 3 things in that order. I would do them exactly in that order. You know, you might be able to do SEO earlier. Hopefully you can. And I always tell everybody, like, the easiest way to figure out SEO is kind of like paying for your marketing up front, you know, where everyone has to pay for a lead. So like, you pay for your lead when you get it. SEO, you're just paying for your leads at the beginning. And then, you know, just pay for it up front and then follow your ROI on the back end.
Yeah, SEO, like a lot of guys, we do SEO where like their cost per lead is sometimes dirt cheap. Like, we've got guys that make like every $8, I think, in SEO spend, like, as a lead. Like, come on, man. You're not going to get that with LSA. You're not going to get that with AdWords. You're not going to get that anywhere else. $8 a lead's fantastic. And if your operations are good, if you have someone who answers the phone, if your pricing is right, if you know how to run a call, like, now you're set up to have like those really insane ROIs. Dude, I know that you're busy. Oh, sorry. Go for it.
No, I was just going to say, SEO was probably one of the things that I had this gut instinct I had to do. Right. So I reached out to you. I reached out to a couple different companies, but it has been hands down the best decision I've made. And I tell everybody, you know, you get what you pay for. I mean, it's the same thing in plumbing, right? You get what you pay for. And some people might go out and want, you know, the most expensive, faucet out there. But, I don't know, just jump in, give it a shot. And, you know, if you need anything, they can always reach out to me.
Yeah. How would they reach you if they have questions that they want to ask you? Is there a way you prefer them to hit you up?
It's easiest to find me on Facebook. Most people find me through Messenger. Once we get to know each other a little bit more, we can exchange phone numbers. But yeah, just reach out through Facebook.
Facebook. Also, Ryan is on Tinder. So if you ever need to hit him up there too, you can find him on Tinder. Seriously, I love knowing you. It was awesome meeting you in Dallas last month or whenever that was. But thanks for taking the time to come on here. I know you help a lot of people that are starting off in the trades. I hope that you being on here now like gives other people like hope and inspiration and ideas to help them better their own business. So thanks for stopping by. I know you're crazy busy. This was fun, man.
I appreciate it. Sorry about the background noise. Yeah, they're all going crazy over here.
Dude, it's when you're the OG my guy, that's what happens. Like, that's the sound of success.
Well, I appreciate it, Ron. Thanks for having me on.
You bet, man. Thanks for stopping by.
This episode was hosted by Ryan Redding, author of the book on digital marketing for plumbing and HVAC contractors. This show also includes much help from Shelby Nichols. You can subscribe to Blue Collar CEO on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Visit us online at bluecollar.ceo and find us on Instagram. Also, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review.